What's up, guys? So let's talk a little bit of UFC here, right? Since quarantine started, they've been one of the few sporting companies to be open at all. So far, the only hiccup in the entire opening has been one fighter testing positive for COVID, along with his two cornermen, and they were pulled from the fight the day before. So really, it's gone on mostly without a hitch. And I think we need to give Dana White some credit here because he received a lot of criticism. A lot of people saying, this is not the right time to do this. There's no need to put on fights. But now that we've been able to see how they've been able to pull it off, how they've managed to do it, again, they deserve some credit. So all these events took place in Jacksonville, and they're going to continue to do that for a while until Dana White sets up his Fight Island venue.
Putting an octagon on the beach. There's going to be training facilities there for people. There are hotels. And the whole island is going to be built. And all the infrastructure is going to be built for UFC to come do fights there.
We'll see how that goes. I'm not exactly sure. But until then, this is working pretty well. So one of the early fights that was the big headliner was Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson, right? 155 pounds, winner gets to take on Khabib for the title. Now, Ferguson has deserved this title shot at Khabib for a really long time, and for whatever reason, the fight was just cursed. This was the fifth time they had tried to put it together, between weight cut issues, between injuries, between COVID. This fight just could not get made. And really, Ferguson is like the perfect matchup for Khabib, right? Ferguson has a great gas tank. He loves to go all five rounds. He loves being on his back. When guys are able to take Ferguson down or Ferguson eats a shot, there's no one better from their back than Tony Ferguson. For almost a decade, this guy has not been beaten. When guys had more power, Ferguson had better cardio. When fighters were better on their feet, Ferguson would take him to the ground. And when guys just wanted to brawl, Ferguson was just tougher. Tony is as elite of a fighter as they come, and he's probably the greatest fighter to never win the belt. He held the interim belt for a short period of time. He suffered an injury right after and wasn't able to keep it, but he is probably the greatest to never hold a UFC belt. Now, his opponent, Justin Gaethje, he's known for being a showman. He's a prize fighter. He goes in there. He's willing to eat shots. He's willing to stand in the pocket to entertain the fans. He makes sure that the fans go home excited, that they want to go out the next time he fights. They want to tune in, either buy the pay-per-view or show up themselves. He fought in the Professional Fighting League for a long time before coming to the UFC. He was 19-0 there, and he was known as a showman. And that kind of transitioned into the UFC, even through his first five fights or so. Unfortunately, in the UFC, you got to be better than a showman, right? He realized that he was just eating too many punches. And in order for him to maintain his status in the UFC, he was going to have to do better than that. So over the last year, him and his coach, Trevor Whitman, who's done an outstanding job. Like, I cannot understate how good of a job Trevor Whitman has done with Justin Gaethje, right? Gaethje's got insane cardio. He's a natural-born wrestler, I think a two-time All-American, actually, in college, and has some wicked power in both of his hands. So he made a conscious decision to not eat as many shots, to play a little bit safer. And for most guys, people say, boo, that's not what you're in there for. For Justin Gaethje, this was the right move. You know, for Ferguson, this is a tough bout, right? And Gaethje can present a lot of problems to a lot of people, but for the last year, Ferguson has been training and preparing and strategizing against Khabib. That has been his target. That's been his goal the whole time. Gaethje and Khabib are very different fighters. So when this fight was made, Ferguson had to do a quick 180 and try and prepare for Justin Gaethje. Well, ultimately Gaethje did it. Right? He had just great cardio. He was really smart. And at the end of the day, actually, the big difference in this fight was the leg kicks. Gaethje was able to just attack the lead leg of Ferguson, and it completely changed the dynamic of the fight. And actually, there's a really good moment in the fight where Gaethje's able to attack the lead leg and then finish upstairs to the head. And it's just beautiful. It is a chef's kiss. on Combination Strike. The fight was an all-timer. It was a classic. And I if you know me, I don't use those phrases lightly, right? Like, this was an all-time epic battle. And Gaethje took down Ferguson. And Ferguson is known as the Boogeyman. El Kakui, as they call him, right? This guy is scary. He doesn't get put away. And even at the end, when he was just battered, bruised, and beaten, he still was on his feet trying to, like, shake off the cobwebs. And ultimately, the ref, I think it was Herb Dean, stepped in and said, "This is enough. I'm calling the fight." So where does that leave us? Well, there's the Conor McGregor question in the 155-pound division now, right? You would assume that Gaethje is going to take on Khabib. Who knows? All right, great. So Ferguson now probably has to recover a little bit. Conor wants to fight soon. You know, although he did beat Cowboy, I would hardly say that's a notch in his belt when it comes to the belt. So in my opinion, I think McGregor needs to win one more fight in order to reclaim the status as the number one contender in this division. Even when Gaethje does ultimately fight Khabib, I'm not sold that Ferguson doesn't deserve that next title shot. So just bottom line is there's a lot you could do with the 155-pound division. Dustin Poirier is right there. McGregor, Gaethje, Khabib, Ferguson. I mean, that is legit. You have five guys willing to compete and contend in this division. I'm not sure anyone really beats Khabib yet, but that's another story. And funny enough, with all of that happening, and even the rumors of Nate Diaz and McGregor happening for a third time this summer, and y'all know my opinion on Nate Diaz and McGregor. I think it's the greatest rivalry probably in the history of the sport. The first two fights are my favorite two fights in the history of the sport, and ultimately, I think McGregor's going to win the third fight because Nate's eye just can't hold up anymore, and McGregor's left hand is just going to destroy Nate Diaz's right eye. Funny enough, with all of that going on, no one cares. Even Henry Cejudo, the two-division champ at 125 pounds and 135 pounds, retired this week, and no one cares. You want to know why? Well, because last week, Jon Jones and Francis Ngannou hinted at a fight in the heavyweight division. Now, Jon Jones is the greatest of all time. So over the last 2 years, Francis Ngannou has proven himself as a legitimate heavyweight. He has the craziest power we have ever seen inside the octagon in any division. He has defeated, destroyed seven or eight heavyweights in his way. I mean, look at what he did to Jair Rozenstruik just last week. Like, in 20 seconds, he is knocking people out that want to fight him. That's never been done before, by the way. Props to Rozenstruik for even just saying that. I don't know if he believed it or not, but bravo. Jones, despite being a hateable character, a reckless, non-contributing member of society, he's probably our GOAT. And if he was to fight Francis Ngannou, we would have what I think is the craziest matchup in the history of the UFC. Yes. You're talking about the greatest fighter of all time fighting a great fighter with the craziest power of all time. This fight would reach like mythological levels of superhero storytelling. I don't even know if we could really comprehend the hype and the buildup that would come with this fight. And the thing is with Jones is he kind of does have options, right? Like, he could always finish the trilogy with DC. He could always just fight Stipe for the belt at the heavyweight division. And then he could also just continue to defend his belt at 205. Like, the guy's got options. But none are like Francis Ngannou. And the thing with Ngannou is that he seems to be getting better and only improving, which is just a horrifying thought. Well, and if you combine the two, I think you have the best matchup in the history of the UFC. I think this fight would do epic numbers. Sure, right now it's just Twitter beef and them going back and forth, and it appears that they reached a minor snafu in the negotiating deals. I don't think Jones or Ngannou were very happy with the first offers from Dana White, and Dana White seems to be kind of holding back from that fight because I think he really values both fighters. So he doesn't want them to fight, and he doesn't want either one of them to have a loss. So I think they're going to kind of dangle it over our heads for a while. But, man, as fight fans, We can only pray that that's what happens next.